Humanity's journey through history is a tapestry woven with remarkable achievements. Every thread representing a triumph of innovation, resilience, and collective endeavour. In the ancient world, civilizations like Mesopotamia and Egypt constructed awe-inspiring structures such as the Hanging Gardens of Babylon and the Pyramids of Giza. These architectural marvels stood as a testament to human ingenuity and mastery of engineering. The Renaissance in Europe brought about a revival of artistic expressions, with masterpieces by Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, and Raphael showcasing the pinnacle of human creativity. The Enlightenment illuminated the corridors of reason, challenging traditional authority and prompting ideals of liberty and equality. Thinkers like Voltaire, Rousseau, and Locke paved the way for political revolutions that reshaped the world, including the American and the French revolutions. But throughout humanity's prosperous years, there have been utter disastrous ones. Humanity has weathered its share of trials and tribulations. Certain periods stand out as the worst years in human history, marked by profound suffering, upheaval, and despair. Today, we will focus on those years. Hi everybody, and welcome back to the Dark History Podcast, where we explore the darkest parts of human history. Hope everybody is well. I'm Rob, your host as always. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 3, The Depths of Despair, Unveiling History's Blackest Years. Today, as you may have guessed, we'll embark on the exploration of some of humanity's worst years. Reflecting on the worst years in human history is a somber exercise that offers valuable insight into the fragility of civilizations and the capacity of both resilience and destruction. These dark periods underscore the importance of learning from the past to build a more just, compassionate, and resilient future. As we navigate the complexities of the present, the shadows of history remind us of the enduring consequences of our collective actions. So without further ado, please turn off those lights, sit back and relax next to the fire for more Dark History. So where do we start on this morose journey through time? How about 74,000 years ago? Even before recorded history. The human race was scattered in pockets in Africa, Europe, and Asia at the time. These human populations during this period were predominantly engaged in hunter-gatherer lifestyles. These early Homo sapiens relied on hunting game animals, gathering wild plant resources, and possibly scavenging for survival. Their movements were often dictated by the availability of resources in their environment. Imagine the absolute surprise to them when an apocalyptic event occurred on the island of modern-day Sumatra, which completely changed their way of life. The Toba eruption referred to a cataclysmic volcanic event that occurred approximately 74,000 years ago at Lake Toba, on the Indonesian island of Sumatra. This eruption is recognized as one of the most powerful volcanic events in Earth's history and had profound consequences for the global environment and the course of human evolution. The Toba eruption is classified as a supervolcanic event, indicating that it was an order of magnitude more powerful than a typical volcanic eruption. The eruption expelled an enormous volume of volcanic material, including ash and gases, into the atmosphere. The volcanic ash spread over large areas, impacting climates and ecosystems on a global scale. Parts of Indonesia, India, and the Indian Ocean were covered by 15 centimeters, or 6 inches, of volcanic debris, an estimated 1,700 cubic miles of rock, a volume comparable to almost 3 million Empire State Buildings, erupted, forming a crater lake visible even from space. The Toba eruption is associated with the theory of a volcanic winter, where the massive release of volcanic ash and aerosols into the atmosphere led to a significant cooling effect on the planet. Ash and volcanic gases released by the eruption into the atmosphere partially blocked the sunlight, causing a volcanic winter, where temperatures drop worldwide by 3 to 5 degrees. This dramatic climate shift had far-reaching consequences for ecosystems and possibly contributed to widespread ecological disruption. The Toba eruption is theorized to have had a significant impact on biodiversity. The volcanic winter caused by the eruption likely led to widespread environmental stress, affecting vegetation and disrupting food chains. Some scientists propose that this event could have contributed to the bottlenecking in human populations, reducing the numbers of individuals and genetic diversity. The Toba eruption is associated with the Toba catastrophe theory, suggesting that the volcanic winter and associated environmental changes led to severe reduction in human populations. This bottleneck is hypothesized to have had a profound impact on human genetic diversity. Some genetic evidence supports the idea that the population of Homo sapiens may have been significantly reduced during this period. While it's impossible to say exactly how many humans succumbed to the volcanic winter that lasted around a decade, scientists have come up with a number of how many survived. It's believed that the human population was reduced to as little as 3,000 to 10,000 people, suggesting that humanity nearly went extinct long ago.
Bloody FM presents Hometown Ghost Stories, a paranormal podcast that investigates a new town every week, bringing you all the hauntings, from haunted houses to castles, bridges to asylums, wandering spirits to demons. Over 100 episodes covering different towns all over the world. Tune in to Hometown Ghost Stories live on YouTube every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern or on any podcast platform and find out if your hometown is haunted.
Geological evidence, including the identification of massive caldera at Lake Toba, support the occurrence of this colossal eruption. Additional layers of Toba ash have been discovered in various parts of the world, aiding in dating and correlating the event with other geological and anthropological findings. While the Toba eruption occurred thousands of years ago, its consequences reverberate in our understanding of prehistoric climate events and their impact on ecosystems and human evolution. The eruption serves as a reminder of the dynamic and interconnected nature of Earth's geology and the influence of natural events on the course of life on our planet.
As we move on in time, we come to the year 48 BCE. The world in 48 BCE was a mosaic of diverse cultures, political entities, and historical development. It was a period marked by transition, as old empires gave way to new powers, and as geopolitical struggles shaped the course of history. The year 48 BCE was marked by significant political and military events, particularly in the context of the late Roman Republic. The major reason it's considered a challenging and tumultuous year is due to the ongoing power struggle and conflicts that unfolded during the Roman Civil War between prominent figures Julius Caesar and Pompey. In the year leading up to 48 BCE, tensions have been escalated between Julius Caesar and Pompey. The relationship between these two powerful Roman generals deteriorated,
leading to a breakdown of political compromise. Caesar famously crossed the Rubicon River, and an action that ignited the Roman Civil War. The year witnessed a pivotal moment in the Roman Civil War, with the Battle of Pharsalus in Greece. The forces of Caesar and Pompey clashed in a decisive engagement. Despite being outnumbered, Caesar's army emerged victorious, resulting in Pompey's flight to Egypt, where he met his tragic end. Seeking refuge in Egypt, Pompey hoped for sanctuary. Pompey's arrival in Egypt coincided with internal conflicts within the Egyptian royal court. Pompey, expecting to receive hospitality, was instead betrayed by Ptolemy's advisers, who saw an opportunity to gain favour with Caesar, who was also present in Egypt at the time. As Pompey disembarked at Pelusium, a city on the easternmost edge of the Nile Delta, he thought he would receive protection, but he was confronted by a group of Egyptian officials led by Septimus and Achilles, who had been influenced by the eunuch Pothinus and the queen's sister, Arsinoe the IV. Realizing that he was betrayed, Pompey resisted arrest and was slain on the shores of Egypt. The exact details of his death vary in historical accounts, with some suggesting he was stabbed to death, while others claimed he was beheaded. Regardless, his demise marked a tragic end of one of Rome's most influential military and political figures. As I said, this would bring Caesar to Egypt in 48 BCE and cause one of the greatest travesties in human history, the burning of the Library of Alexandria. Caesar was pursuing Pompey in Egypt, and he was suddenly cut off by an Egyptian fleet at Alexandria. Caesar was outnumbered and in enemy territory, which led him to order that the ships in the harbour be set on fire, which spread and destroyed the Egyptian fleet. Unfortunately, it also burnt down parts of the city, and the area where the Great Library stood. This action would condemn the world to losing the largest library in the ancient world, and destroying works by the greatest thinkers and writers of antiquity, including Homer, Plato, Socrates, and many, many more. Choosing the worst year in history, despite our best research, is a subjective event. Many years in this episode may have been merely one year in a long series of bad times, or even decades in some cases. But if you were to have a singular, definitive answer to the question, what was the worst year in history? 536 CE would be right up there. 536 CE was a year of darkness, despair, and unmeasurable suffering. When a fog suddenly fell upon the earth, it instantly blanketed the Middle East, Europe, and parts of Asia in darkness and unexpectedly cold temperatures. In fact, the temperatures were so cold in China that it even snowed during the summer. Not only was its appearance a mystery, but the darkness lasted for an entire 18 months. Procopius, a Roman Byzantine historian at the time, described the unusual climate of 536 CE as one without any sun, almost as if the sun was forever stuck in a dark eclipse. Another Roman politician, Cassiodorus, reported that the sun's rays were faint and had a bluish colour. Even in the middle of the day, you could not see your shadow. As you can imagine, this mysterious phenomenon not only led to widespread fear of a potential apocalypse, but also made it extremely difficult to grow crops. This led to widespread famine, disease, and many deaths. For example, the population of Rome alone decreased by nearly 50% due to the strange change in climate. As the temperatures dropped, crops started to fail in many parts of the world. People suffered from food shortages and famine, leaving them malnourished and susceptible to starvation and disease. In some places, entire societies collapsed because they didn't have enough resources to care for their people. To make matters worse, mosquitoes and other disease-carrying insects survived in areas where they normally wouldn't be found due to the cooler temperatures. This led to further spread of diseases in communities that were not at all prepared for them. One of the worst consequences was the Justinian Plague, the first wave of the famous plagues in Europe. This terrible event killed 50 million people from 541 to 549 CA. Europeans were already weak and had very few resources due to the sudden environmental change, so the Justinian Plague spread dangerously fast through Rome and Egypt, the Mediterranean Basin, Europe, and the Near East. It hit the Sassanid Empire and the Byzantine Empire with great force, particularly in Constantinople, where it killed between one third to one half of the population. Unfortunately, however, the situation was far from over. All of these factors contributed to the eventual collapse of the Roman Empire. Some historians hypothesized that these factors may have also influenced the collapse of the Sassanid Empire, the Gupta Empire, and even the fall of Teotihuacan in Mexico. To make matters worse, the cause of this unusual Dark Age of 536 CE remained a mystery. However, in the 1990s, researchers began to look at tree rings from Ireland. These discovered that parts of Europe and Asia really did get quite cold in 536 CA. Some areas experienced temperatures that were up to 35 to 37 degrees Fahrenheit colder than normal. In addition, scientists led by Michael McCormack and Paul Majerzowski at the Climate Change Institute of the University of Maine analysed ice from Swiss glaciers. They discovered evidence of a huge volcanic eruption in Iceland. This eruption, in 536 CE, seemed to have been the root cause of the worst time to be alive. For our final year in this part, and episode, we are going to follow the same trend as the others, and talk about more death and destruction. Europe's Great Famine of 1315 to 1317 is considered one of the worst population collapses in the continent's history. Historical records tell of unrelenting rain accompanied by mass crop failure, skyrocketing food prices, and even instances of cannibalism. Just over 700 years ago, people across northern Europe saw a comet in the sky and feared the worst, and in hindsight, the worst was to come. Things really started going bad in the summer of 1314. That's when it rained almost constantly, and the ensuing floods ruined crops. While food rotted in the fields, livestock had it just as bad. Animals starved or drowned in the floods. As food stores emptied, prices skyrocketed, famine set in, as even basics like wheat and salt were impossible to get. In the spring of 1315, unusually heavy rain began again in much of Europe. Throughout the spring and the summer, it continued to rain, and the temperatures remained cool. Under such conditions, grain could not ripen, leading to widespread crop failures. Grains were brought indoors in urns and pots to keep dry. The straw and hay for the animals could not be cured, so there was no fodder for the livestock. In England, lowlands in Yorkshire and Nottingham were flooded, while stew ponds on the River Foss in Yorkshire were washed away. The price of food began to rise. Prices in England doubled between spring and midsummer. Salt, the only way to cure preserved meat, was difficult to obtain, because brine could not be effectively evaporated in the wet weather. In Lorraine, wheat prices rose by 320%, making bread unaffordable to peasants. Stores of grain for long-term emergencies were limited to royalty, lords, nobles, wealthy merchants, and the church. Because of the general increase in population pressures, even lower than average harvests meant some people would go hungry. There was little margin for failure. People began to harvest wild edible roots, grasses, nuts, and bark in the forests. Famine led to class warfare and political strife that destabilized entire regions. The price of everyday items such as grain, wheat, barley, oats, bread, and salt soared, so that many people could not afford them, even when they could find them. People resorted to abandoning their children and stealing from and murdering others just to feed themselves. In one tale, Edward II of England stopped at St. Albans on the 10th of August 1315 and had difficulty finding bread for himself and his entourage. This would be a rare occasion in which the King of England was unable to eat. In Bristol, the city's chroniclers reported that in 1315 there was a great famine of dearth, with such mortality that the living could not scarce to suffice to bury the dead. Horse flesh and dog flesh was accounted as good meat, and some eat their own children. In spring 1316, it continued to rain on a European population deprived of energy and reserve to sustain itself. All segments of society, from nobility to peasants, were affected, but especially the peasants, who represented 95% of the population, who had no reserve food supplies. To provide some measurable relief, the future was mortgaged by slaughtering the draft animals, eating seed grains, abandoning children to fend for themselves, and among the old people, voluntarily refusing food for the younger generation to survive. The height of the famine was in 1317, as the wet weather continued. But in that summer, the weather returned to normal patterns. By then, the people were so weakened by diseases such as pneumonia, bronchitis, and tuberculosis, and so much of the seed stock had been eaten, that it was not until 1325 that the food supply returned to relatively normal levels, and the population began to increase. Historians debate the toll, but it is estimated that 10 to 25% of the population in many cities and towns died. Though the Black Death from 1347 to 1351 would kill many more people, it often swept through an area in a matter of months, whereas the Great Famine lingered for years, prolonging the suffering of the populace. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to this dark episode. So that was just a selection of the worst years in human history. Now, there are of course many more, and some that are far worse than some of these. And depending on how this episode does, I can revisit this topic. One point that is slightly scary about all of these is the effect of climate change. Now, I'm not going to bang on about fossil fuels or how the world will end, but as we've heard, one event can shift the world's atmosphere and cause absolute chaos, whether it be a volcanic eruption or other natural disasters. In most of these stories, the world population was quite small in comparison to today's standards. And if any of these were to happen now, Well, let's just say there would be a lot of corpses in the street. One event that really does piss me off is the burning of the Library of Alexandria. Whether it be Caesar, or when the Muslims invaded in 640, it was an absolute travesty. Could you imagine the knowledge that that place possessed? Answers to some of the most burning historical mysteries could have lay in those scrolls. Who built the pyramids and the Sphinx? Were the Hanging Gardens of Babylon real? Etc, etc. Some people may call me sad, but some of this shit keeps me up at night. Anyway, if you could please drop a review on the show, it really does help the podcast out. The more reviews, the more the algorithm pushes the show out there. If you think friends and family may be interested in the podcast, then share it with them. Links to all socials are below. I know adverts can sometimes be a pain, but if you would like ad-free episodes, a link to the show's Patreon is also below. Not only do you get ad-free content, here is where you can find my other podcast, This Week in History. This is a dive into the week's grisly, gruesome, or just random events throughout history. The Patreon is for people who want to support the channel, but don't feel like you have to. As always, if you've been listening for a while and not subscribed, please do that. In that way, you never miss an episode. So with all that out the way, thank you again for listening. Join us next time for our next episode as we delve into another event and more dark history.